Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Road Divi 1, Road to Gold Coast, little podcast series with myself, Brady Trelfall, and Andy Buchanan. Recording this on a Sunday afternoon. Did just have a bit of a chat off air. Couldn't believe we were up to number 6 already episode. And looking forward to talking through some training that's been happening in Andy's life and a bit of Bendigo bat chat leading into potentially round 3 of the Athletics Victoria season. Not sure what's going to happen, but we'll talk a bit about that later on. Welcome to my co-host, Andy Buchanan, not in Bendigo, up in Newcastle, New South Wales. Welcome.
Thanks, Brady. Up in Newcastle at the moment, which is good. It's nearly the Bats' second home away from Bendigo, and I've been told that there is some Bats in Newcastle.
Some real
which
Bats.
Which is highly relevant for us. Some real Bats, yep. Sorry, not the runner Bats, but good to be chatting running again. I know we had...
Yeah. Oh, you go. Sorry, I was just going to say, I didn't have this down to talk about this early on, but I'll go there anyway. But what about the TV interview that you guys did down in Bendigo, and then they had like footage from the actual Bendigo Bats in the park there?
I think that's broken the internet, yeah. That interview. Like, it is so good, and there's so many little jokes about this colony's ready to fly and all this stuff. It's... I don't know. Hopefully that gave people a laugh. I think it's had nearly 10,000 views. So Win News in Bendigo are stoked with it. So
I'll try to put in the show notes if people aren't sure what we're talking about. But that was a good bit of publicity for the Bendigo Bats and the physical Bendigo Bats as well. So it was good that people are making that connection that we are named after actual bats in the park hanging there in Bendigo. Tell us, Andy, what are you doing in Newcastle? This wasn't part of the plan last time we spoke.
Yeah, so we got... We got a little bit nervous just with the COVID outbreak in Melbourne, and we kind of, I don't know, the last thing, obviously missed Launceston and didn't want to miss Gold Coast. So we kind of hatched a bit of a plan to come to Newcastle, which is where my coach, Scott Westcott, lives. And then that way I can spend 2 weeks in Newcastle, because that's what all the governments kind of require you to spend 2 weeks, 14 days somewhere. So even if kind of shit hits the fan back in Victoria, I should be able to get into Queensland. So that was the theory behind that, just as a bit of a, I suppose, insurance, just to make sure that, because it's, as you know, it can change, like every day it changes. So we just didn't want to, leave it up to fate. We kind of wanted to be able to control a bit. So luckily I got a week off work, so I got a week of leave, and then I've got holidays. So yeah, come up here a little bit early to spend 2 weeks here, and then I'll head up to Gold Coast for the marathon. So it's I don't know, I don't get to see Scott that often, my coach. So it's just awesome to be able to, I suppose, hang out with him and kind of get into that kind of training camp vibe for the last few weeks and kind of knuckle down and not have to worry too much about school and getting up early and all that kind of stuff. So it's good. I was actually looking forward to some warmer weather, but it's bloody freezing up here this weekend. So I don't know. Hopefully it warms up next week.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that it can change so fast because all of a sudden there's people in Melbourne who are probably pretty confident of getting to the Gold Coast in 2 weeks, and there's people in Sydney who are quite concerned about it. And you're probably now closer to Sydney, obviously, than you are Melbourne. So yes. Is there any concern now that, you know, potentially the Sydney outbreak fires up more and then they put a blanket rule over? I don't think they'd ever blanket New South Wales just because it's such a big state. But if they said, you know, East Coast or whatever of New South Wales, that could potentially include you. I don't know. They'd know more about that up there, wouldn't they?
We did think about that. And I think with this, you need to kind of always look at what they've done in the past because that's a pretty good indication of what they're going to do. And they've done it like what Victoria now does, where they separate regional New South Wales and Sydney. So Newcastle isn't actually classified in that area, so we should be pretty safe up here. And they've been up here, like, they're like, oh, what's COVID? Oh yeah, that was a little thing a few years ago where we couldn't travel overseas. Like, it's so like, for me, I'm walking in the supermarket going, oh shit, I forgot my mask. It's just like, it's so weird, it's so different. Like, it hasn't affected these the people up here, so it's very different. And I did mention that to Scott and he said, nah, we've always been separate to Sydney, so that's a little advantage. And I suppose at least this way, I'm that little bit closer to Gold Coast. So if things do start getting a bit sketchy, which I think a few Melbourne people have done, they've kind of headed up a bit. No, sorry, Sydney people. They've kind of said, oh, we're flying the coop and we're getting out. So at least I'm a little bit closer.
Tom DiCanno, I heard the news out of Sydney and then the next day I just checked Strava and he was all of a sudden at the Gold Coast. Like, I think he was on a plane straight away and just being like, nah, I'm not risking this, get out.
Yeah, I was getting worried because I was hearing they were locking down. Well, a few of those suburbs were becoming hotspots. And I was like, shit, hopefully Tom can get up there. And then all of a sudden I checked Strava and he's up running along the spit there. And I thought, oh, shit, that's good. So I was getting a bit worried for him there. So it's, I don't know, it's just crap. But that's kind of the world we live in these days. So, it's just going to be a good little training camp, actually. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, overseas listeners, like, Australia's kind of states, it's almost like they're different countries at the moment. Different rules for different states and who can go in and out, all those kind of things impact so many people. And Tom, the kind of example we just used, he was in Tasmania winning the half marathon in Launceston, Tasmania, the state there. 3 or 4 days before, and probably didn't even have COVID as a concern at all. It just can happen so quick. So, it kind of depends on what state you're in and then what's happening in that state. And then that rule about what have you done the last 2 weeks, that's what really gets a lot of people. And that's even, we were talking about it on our long run today. So, like, we had four of our Bendigo Bats members, like myself, Archie, Glenn McMillan and Nathan Stoat. And, like, three of us are meant to be racing up to the Gold Coast. And it's like, well, if this AV race does happen in Melbourne next weekend, and then the Gold Coast is saying, or Queensland is saying, hey, you can't come into Queensland if you've been into Melbourne the last 2 weeks, that could potentially, like, hurt us. And, like, team score as well, because it's like, well, which, you know, you'd like to think AV might have some common sense and maybe move it to a regional location so regional people can still compete.
But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Like, you'd think that race isn't going ahead just through what Melbourne's kind of, the restrictions there kind of still on. So but we haven't heard anything. So it's going to be interesting. But on the Bats talk, Nigel Preston's been on the recruiting drive and we've got a few possible ins for the team, actually. I know we've been worried about these next two rounds, but there's, some pretty big names that might be looking to AV register for the first time. So,
oh, really?
One of them's a ex. Well, you're never an ex, but he's a world champion. So I don't know if you'd be able to figure that one out. But
a world champion in a different sport, not running.
Yeah, well, running is included in it.
And bike riding, duathlon.
And bike riding, yes.
I know the guy you're talking about. Yep, he'd be handy. Is he fit?
I don't know. I think he's. He'd tell you he isn't, but I think his level of fit, his. What he classifies as fit and probably the average person are very different. So he might be keen. And then also a few others that haven't ran with us much are getting pretty keen as well. So I think they're getting the pretty keen to join the Bats. So I think we're going to have a pretty good team no matter what kind of happens. So I know hopefully AV make a decision soon just so we can kind of start planning around who's going to be in our Divi 2 team.
Oh, yeah, and even just plan training. Like, we're looking at this week and I'm kind of... Well, I had a kind of half marathon specific session planned, but if we're going to do a 12K like tempo during this race, I won't do that. Like, there's no point doing a 15K tempo and a 12K tempo in the same week. But
yeah,
you don't know if the race is going to go ahead, so you're not sure when you have to scrap it and what you have to replace it with, and yeah, all those kind of things. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I'm still confident, like, we'd win Divi 2 quite easy with the team we'd send. Like, Archie and I were talking about just maybe rolling around, like, you know, 25th, 30th position, kind of making up the points kind of thing. Nathan's fit as, like, he could potentially.
Because he's not running Gold Coast.
No, so he could use this as like a full on. He's ready to go. He's like shattered he didn't get to Launceston last week because he's been doing the same program as Archie and I and probably doing the sessions a bit better. So he's kind of in 29-40 kind of shape, I'd say. So he could have a real good one. There's still concerns with cross country. Like, if it was a 12K road race, you'd back him in every day. But he ran pretty strong at Jowls over the cross country.
He could be on for a top five.
Yeah, I told him this morning, like, you could sneak on the podium. Like, yeah, so he's going all right. And then, we were throwing around names as well, like Nigel Preston.
Yeah.
Obviously, Glenn as well will be tempoing. But, we'd still have a very handy six.
Yeah. And I think Steve Van Rees is pretty keen as well. So, and then plus those few little extras that I know about. So, I think we're looking pretty good considering a lot of our top team is out, so that's it's important to have that depth there because it is a 10-round series, is it? Not a 2-round series, so we just need to be
People did love reminding us early on that it's more than 1-round series, but we're down it for 2 now. But that's good when you can take half your team out, half your strongest team, and then potentially, you know, Jamie the Beast Cook's not there as well, so you're taking potentially 4 out of your top 6 out, and you're still sending a strong team.
Depth in Bendigo.
Depth. That's what we want. So let's go back to last week for you. No Launceston half marathon. Early in the week I was talking to you. Sounds like you guys made a call pretty early though. Put a line through it.
There was there was a few things that happened that just meant we so I found out Thursday afternoon. I'm pretty sure. Or was it Wednesday? When was it? One of those, and I'd done a pretty large session on Tuesday, which we can chat about, and then also 27K on Wednesday, and it was just like, it just wasn't worth it. Like, I was keen to go down there and have a good crack and try and run a PB, and I would have, like, kind of tapered for that race, whereas I didn't have that opportunity, because we kind of wrote it off, and then there was the possibility it was going to be on, and then, like, I felt like we were just going back and forwards. And if I wasn't doing Gold Coast, I would have gone, yep, I'm happy to treat it as if it's going ahead and see what happens. But I just think with the marathon, like, I think it was 4 weeks away at that stage, I just couldn't risk not having a good training week and then not having a race at the end. So we kind of, when Richard kind of sent me a message saying you guys can come, I was kind of, I wasn't sure. I was like, oh, maybe it's good to go down and do a 10K, but I was pretty convinced on not doing the half, and then just had a chat to Scotty, and it was a pretty simple decision to make. So he was just kind of like, I don't think it's worth it, and I was just saying the worst thing for me to do would be go down there and run poorly, because I've got pretty high confidence at the moment just because training's been going well, and I just hate to go down there and run shithouse because I haven't really tapered and haven't gotten ready for this race. So I was kind of like, what's to gain versus what's to lose, and what's to lose is a lot bigger than what's to gain. So I was a little bit disappointed, but at the same time, like, those races, you know what it's like when you're working during the week and then you got to get down there on the Saturday, then you race on the Sunday and you come back late Sunday night. Like, it's just a big weekend, and I was kind of like, oh, it's actually quite nice not having to travel all the way down to Tassie.
Reason why we didn't have a show last week. A lot of people messaging me like, where's the show? And I'm like, hey guys, I've been in Launceston for 3 days. My wife's been looking after our toddler. And if I get home and then tell her I'm going to go on one podcast and then another podcast, I would have been in quite a lot of trouble. So it is stressful going away. It'd be okay if you didn't have a job and stuff, but straight back to work on the Tuesday after the public holiday. Our flight actually got cancelled coming home, so we got moved to the Monday. So yeah, there's just so much stress around the whole week, and just the mental drain of like up and down, and not sure, definitely has an impact. And that's, yeah, I actually think it's risky running a hard half marathon like that 3 weeks out. Because if you run a hard half marathon, you're pretty cooked for, I'm going to say, well, everyone's different, but I'd like to, I think it's fair to say you're cooked for a good 7 to 10 days until you're back feeling perfect. So then all of a sudden you've got a race in, what would that be? Another 10 days your actual race is. So you're not fitting in much training before then, you've got a taper. And like, I'm sure Tommy and Benny Sane and Riley Cox will all pull it off, no worries, because they're just a different breed. But a lot of people I don't think would pull it off, and maybe could go into the, because the trap is then you start training too hard without the recovery from the half marathon, and then you just can't get feeling good for marathon day.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, I don't know, I was a little bit disappointed, only because I think I feel like I'm in PB shape. Like, I feel like I'm a lot fitter than when I ran my half marathon PB back in 2019. And yeah, it would have been good to kind of duke it out with Tommy there. But it's, I don't know. I was actually quite surprised when you mentioned that they were, like, they seemed pretty cooked at the end of the finish line. Yeah. Like, I thought they were just going to, like, have a good solid hit out, but not completely go to the whales. So that was, I was pretty surprised about that.
Yeah, they were, you could tell they rinsed themselves. Like, they just gave it so much. They all looked smooth, but then, yeah, I was standing right at the finish line there, and all just, Riley Cox just vomited for probably, I'm going to say a good, like, 70, 80 seconds. Like, just, I don't know, I don't know what he was spewing up by the end of it. Like, it was just everywhere. Nearly landed on my shoes a couple of times. And Tommy was just bent over as well, just, like, just trying to breathe. And, yeah, I kind of snapped a photo of him for the inside running Instagram stories kind of thing, and put it up there. And, yeah, it was kind of impressive to see, though. Like, I walked away from that and put my bag in, like, the elite athlete kind of zone. And I'm just like, do I try hard enough? Like, I can't remember being like that at the end of races. Like, and all three of them. Like, occasionally you see one out of, like, 10 people being like that. But they were all, like, definitely pretty cooked.
Yeah,
wow. But anyway, it's good to see. Good results. Marathon pace for them should feel pretty easy after running 62s.
Yeah, I'd say high. So. Definitely.
So, yeah, that was the decision there. And I think, really, because Glenn, who was an Echuca guy, he said they weren't letting them, the Vic government wasn't letting Victorian people use actual Melbourne airport unless it was for work, which seems really weird. So he's like, Tassie government are going to, he ended up ringing like the hotline and stuff, the Vic government, like COVID hotline.
So, oh yeah, that's a waste of time. But yeah. I find them so terrible.
I haven't done it, but because I'm like, no, mate, Tassie's letting us in. It's all good. They want regional Victorian people. And then it was like, no, this is a Vic government thing. So, but then I'm like, you could probably classify running, competing as work anyway. Probably going to get paid somewhere.
Exactly.
Get a receipt. There was no one asking at the airport anyway. It was quite, contrasting. I thought it was going to be super strict. And then Melbourne airport, no one even checked my ID at all, that I was from New South Wales, nothing, just straight on. But then when you got to Tassie, it was pretty serious.
I found the exact same when I flew out on Thursday. And you get used to living in your own little bubble, and you kind of forget, like, I'd forgotten that Melbourne was still on quite strict kind of lockdown kind of laws and 25K and all that kind of stuff. And because you get used to doing what you're doing kind of thing. And I was driving down the freeway, and I'm like, geez, not many cars around. And then I always park in the long-term car park at the airport there, and I always, like, try to see the closest park I can get to the gate, because then it's just straight across.
And then
I
got, you just walk across, you don't catch that.
Across. And I literally got the second closest park, and I was so stoked. And it was then that I realized, oh shit, yeah, Melbourne people can't go anywhere. But it was a bloody, like, I walked through the airport, and not a single person checked where I was from, what I was doing, where I was going. And then when I came into New South Wales, I filled out a bit of a form online as to where I'd been, declaring I hadn't been in Melbourne in the last 14 days, I think it was. And then you just fill that out. There's no one checking. They just see that you filled it out, whereas you could just blatantly lie. And then it's just, like, straight in. Then you're just in with the normal population here. It's quite strange that they're very trusting of people doing the right thing. Which I found quite interesting. So
yeah, I thought it was much more stricter.
Especially when you've got a flight coming in and all of those people are from Victoria, you wouldn't think it would take too much to check.
Was your flight pretty empty?
Yeah. Yep. I'd say a third.
Yeah.
Full. So I had a whole row to myself. The row in front was empty. The row behind was empty.
But are you assuming all those people are from regional Victoria on that flight?
Yeah, I'd say so. I was getting so mad. One of my pet peeves is people that wear a mask and they have their nose out. You're like, why are you even wearing a mask? And like, I was getting so mad because so many people in the airport just strolling around with their mask over their mouth, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, yeah, but then I was like, oh, hang on, these are regional people. At least they haven't been around COVID that much. But yeah, so I'm assuming they were all from regional, but there was actually a fair few if they were all from regional. So yeah, I don't know, interesting. But it was, the airport's a dream when it's empty, like just super easy to get through security. But Macca's was closed. I couldn't believe it. I went there to get some fries just before my flight took off and all closed up. It's a bit of a ghost town in there, actually.
Oh yeah, I was Virgin, so we didn't go to that terminal. Didn't see the old Macca's down there.
Yeah.
No pre-race fries for you. Let's talk about some training, hey? Let's. So the week of Launceston, what were the main sessions there? I've seen like the weekly Ks here. I've got them up as 192.
Yep.
What were the two workouts for the week?
So Tuesday, was a bit of an interesting one. Bit of a, I suppose, breakdown in communication between coach and athlete. So I was meant to do 2 minutes and then a mile by three, but I accidentally somehow did it by six. So I don't know, for some reason I thought it was 2 minutes mile, 2 minutes mile as a set, and then do that set three times. But the actual session was actually just 2 minutes mile by three. So this turned out to be it was nearly 17K. So it was a pretty big session, and it wasn't until I kind of got home and messaged Scotty and was kind of like, oh, I'll sleep well tonight kind of thing. And he's like, oh, you've done it, bloody. You've done three times as much as what you meant to do. And I was like, oh, shit. But that was fine. It was I was kind of running the 2 minute at around kind of low 250 pace, and I was having a minute recovery and then doing the miles at probably 255 to 259-ish and then having 2 minutes after the mile. So that was that turned out to be a lot of laps of the lake, and it wasn't until I kind of finished my session and saw that it went for an hour, I was like, what the hell's going on here? This doesn't like sessions I do don't normally go for this long. And then I kind of realized, oh, I think I've made a mistake here, but that was all good. So that turned out to be a bit of a big session, but Scotty and I ended up having a bit of a laugh about it, so that was good. So that was, nearly 17K. So it was a good one on Tuesday. And then what that meant was Friday we could really pull back. So I think Scotty wanted me, he was going to get me to do some 4K efforts, but he was like, you've already kind of, you've done that, so you don't need to go there again. So we just did a bit of a 4K threshold around the wedge, pretty infamous around Bendigo. So that was just 303, so 12-12. And then did some hill reps, so just did six, I think they were about a minute hills, and then I did a 2K in 5:56, so just under 3 minute K. So that was a pretty cruisy session for me, so 12K in total. So just because I had that big day on Tuesday, I mean, I could kind of really pull back, I suppose, on the Friday. So that felt pretty good, and I like doing that. Like, that's my favorite session, though, that hills thresh. I just reckon it just get you really fit. That was Tuesday, Friday. They were the two sessions. And then on Sunday, I actually thought all my longer kind of efforts, Sunday long run efforts were over. But I think with missing Lonnie, Scotty kind of threw this in. So I ended up doing 37K in 3:54 average. Did a bit of a point-to-point one, this one, along the Leanganook, which is also known as the Goldfields Trail. Actually where the old Colobin relays went. You're probably looking at this on Strava going, oh, where's this? But this is dead set where the Colobin relays went, apart from slightly different coming through Spring Gully there because we were on the roads there.
Yeah, I'm looking at your map now.
Yeah, yeah, it was good fun actually.
So not on Mandarin Road, you kind of go the back. Where's Hogan's Road there though? Did you go on that?
No, I didn't. No. So you stick on the Goldfields Trail. So you'd kind of stay off Mandarin South Road and all that kind of stuff. And it's good fun, actually. It's quite flat because it follows the channel for probably, I'm going to say, about 20K. And then you kind of just roll through the bush and then come down through Spring Gully and then onto the Creek Trail. So it's, it was good fun. I did an hour and then I did a 15-minute kind of surge at 318s and then did roughly another hour and then did another 15-minute surge at 315s and then just jogged it to home. So that was a pretty big day out. I was by myself, so I was running like my pace just when I was by myself was kind of like 418 for the first hour, then 356s for the second hour. So just running a bit faster just because you know what it's like when you don't have that group. You kind of, you just get rolling a little bit. So that was a pretty big day out for, 37K.
So did you start, I'm just trying to make sense of this map, with the old Colburn Relays where the first changeover used to happen?
Yep, that was at the top of...
You pretty much started there?
That used to happen at the top of... No, sorry. Yes, actually.
Near that car park. Remember that car park? You're about 200 metres after that car park down the bottom of the hill.
Yes, yep. So they used to start where the Mount Alex Road turns right or left, depends, and then you go down that S-bend. And I started there where you turn left onto the Goldfields.
Yep.
And then ran all the way along there.
Which is interesting. That road up to the top's called Joseph Young Drive. I know who Joseph Young is.
I don't know why it's called that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
That's something for people. So, if you ever did Colburn Relays, just after that's an AV race that used to happen back when Bendigo had one. First changeover through to the finish line.
Yeah. Yep. So that was good fun. I enjoyed that. It just makes the Sunday long run go a bit quicker. Like, and especially we always run the same loop. So I actually really enjoyed going a bit of a point to point. You kind of, I don't know.
It feels like you're on like trying to achieve something.
Yeah, it's like a journey kind of thing.
And you never twisty, isn't it? It looks pretty cool on your Strava.
Yeah, really twisty. It's actually one of the downsides of it because you go along next to the channel and you're kind of like, oh, surely I'm nearly at the end. And then you're like, oh, shit, there's another two bends and they're just quite big bends, but it's dead flat. Like it's kind of like, imagine running next to the aqueduct along the top of Falls Creek, but the trail's probably a bit better. You know how that's very like two wheel, that you can see where the two wheels drive.
Yeah.
And it's crap in the middle. This is probably a all round better surface. So it's, it's good fun actually. I've done a fair bit of that trail. I'm really keen to run the whole way from Mount Alex, and all the way through, but it was just going to be a little bit too far. That's probably about 40K. So I reckon I'll do that one day, but not this week. So that was, what was that, 192K, did you say? So that was a good week, actually. A big session, a good session, and then a good kind of long-run effort. But it's just, I don't know how you find it, but doing those efforts, do you do many efforts where you bank a few Ks and then you just go straight into an effort in your long run?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. So when you say effort, were you talking like marathon pace or like tempo or kind of what were your threshold?
Yeah, it was, I think what Scotty wanted me to do was kind of 315s to 320s. And I ran 318s and 315s. So a little bit, that's slower than marathon pace for me. And it's just kind of, it's probably, it's not even threshold. So it's just an effort, I suppose. It's probably, I'd call it pretty close to marathon effort, considering you're in heavies, you've already done an hour, dirt track, like all that kind of stuff. So I'd call it marathon effort. It's not marathon pace. But I just find it a bit of a grind. Like you're running along pretty happily at 4:15s or whatever, and just trying to flick that switch, it actually gets, and I know I spoke about it when I did a 20-minute surge at the end of my long run a few weeks ago. Like I'm so used to doing these drills and doing strides. Like for me, getting going, when I've just been doing easy jogging, I don't find it that easy. And I think New Balance 1080s probably aren't the fastest shoe in the world. So that makes it a little bit harder, but it was, I don't know. Just find it really hard to, to get going. But once you get going, I feel like I can just keep going. And then that's, I think that's why I like that middle section. I ran like, it was nearly 11K in 43 minutes, just because you kind of
so
like,
that was
you feel
after
like.
After you then slowed back down.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, no, it was good fun. It's a good way to do it. I really enjoyed it. But it's just a bit of, I don't know, the effort is a lot more than what you feel it should be. But I suppose that's the whole point of it, just to simulate what it's like at the marathon when you're kind of 25, 30K in and the effort's through the roof and the pace isn't, kind of thing. So,
did you have any, like you're out there for 2 hours, 20 minutes, like any drinks or gels along the way?
Nah, nothing. So, yeah, it was just, without that, Scotty's pretty big on, like I had a few trial runs and then he's pretty keen on me not doing it anymore, just so my body doesn't, I suppose, adapt to being used to using that kind of stuff, and instead it's used to using the fat that has already got stored. And I don't know, I see people sucking down on gels every long run and I'm like, what are you doing? You're not like, why don't you train your body to use fat without that? And then when you get to a race, it's just like, holy shit, what's all this energy, kind of thing. But
if you're rolling at 3:10 pace in the marathon, you aren't accessing that fat.
Yeah, it
depends. That's the carb.
That
it intensity.
It's
I'm not qualified probably, this, by the way, but I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Depends on how, I suppose, how fit you are, essentially. And it's, I know my goal is we're trying to stay in that fat burning for as long as we can before you start using carbs, because you can use your fats for a lot longer. That's my understanding, but again, we are school teachers, so.
Yeah, I always thought the intensity mattered, though. Like, say you went out, like, say, 325s, 330s, you'd be able to roll on that, because you wouldn't be dipping into that. Like, the harder the intensity, like, the higher the fire, the more you got to rely on the carbs. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But I think I would be able to get through a fair chunk, probably, I don't know, 10K, I reckon, of the marathon running kind of 310s, 311s-ish, and not really touching too much of the carbs. That's the plan anyway. That's what we're hoping. That's best case scenario.
So you won't have anything until 10K in. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'll be having a little bit just to, I suppose, just to make sure, because it's always as a bit of an insurance policy. Probably 5K. I'll have a little bit beforehand, 5K, 10K, 15K. But I don't know too many specifics about that. I don't know. It's Scotty's got that all.
So he'll do that for you too, the nutrition plan?
Yeah. So it's, I'm just fully, I don't know, I spoke about it the other week, and it's probably a prime example of like just trust and, like, trusting the coach athlete kind of thing. And I put all my faith in his decisions, and it's kind of like, because of what he's done and the experience he has, it's kind of, I'm putting it all into his hands, kind of thing. So we'll see. We'll probably chat about that this week, I reckon, this week coming.
Yeah, that'd be interesting hearing what your final plan's going to be.
For the marathon. It's going to be good, actually. I'm looking forward to it. It's I feel like I can finally start to think about it a bit, because it's just around the corner, so it's good fun.
Yeah, and so many ways to skin the cat as well. Like, I know when I went and got tested at, like, Monash, and they put the mask on me and stuff, they're like, whoa, you just burn a shitload of carbs when you run at this pace. You need to be aiming for, like, I think they're like something like 120 grams per hour, but they're like, that's way too many. You'll end up like cooking your stomach. So they're like, end recommendation was to, try to be more like, do more stuff faster and stuff like that to try and access that fat stuff, or still aim for like the higher kind of. So I think now I aim for like 80, 85 grams of carbs per hour. And like, that's why I went and got it done, because every marathon I did, I was just fading massively.
That's awesome. Like, that's, and because the thing, because it's so different for everyone, so it's
like, it is, because Dane Burway got it done, I think, and then he told me to go get it done, and I was like, this is worth doing just to try and see what my body, how it operates. But then the shit thing is, you're trying to, like, 85 grams an hour is like nearly 330 gram gels, which is quite a lot to take in the first hour. But, you know, that's the thing, though. If you run out at 36, 37K, like, which I've done a few times, you really
just... The marathon's 42K. It's...
I've done ones where, you know, you might lose 40 seconds a K for the last 7K. And you're like, it's just gone from a, 221 or 218 or whatever to, Yeah, my first one, going from like 2:19 pace to 2:26 finish time, and you just bleed it all in that last 7 or 8 minutes. But that's interesting, and everyone's got to find it out their own way. So
yeah, exactly. Like that's,
that is the marathon, though. That's why it's such a complicated event. Because every other event, you just go out there and race, and then don't even worry about touching anything.
Yeah, yeah. So it's so different. So it's like I'm fully aware that it'll probably take 3 to kind of actually really learn the event. So it's I don't know. Gold Coast is just all dip the toe in the water and kind of see what we can learn. So it's there's no bad outcome really, because it's all a learning process. So I'm pretty excited.
Have you guys had any communication from the race yet around, like, I heard a whisper that Scott was going to be one of the pacemakers at 66:30 through halfway. Is that the news you're hearing?
He is going to be a pacemaker. I actually honestly don't know what time he's running through. I'm not worrying about that. I'm just kind of worrying about what I'm doing, I suppose. And I haven't really calculated what my splits are going to be. But he is going to be a pacemaker, but I've only heard that because he is my coach. I don't know that from Gold Coast. I don't know if he's the official group pacemaker or not. I just know he's going up and I'm going to be running with him for hopefully, I don't know, 20 to 30K-ish. I haven't heard anything from Gold Coast officially.
Because I wonder if they then ask you guys, it's like, well, who wants what pace? Like, we think this is going to be the lead group. What do you want? Because I don't think Croaks has been told he has to run at like 2:28 pace for the women. Yeah, so that means someone's kind of requested that.
It seems weird that there's so much direction for the women and there's nothing for the blokes. And I don't know if that's purely just because Croaks has obviously been talking about it on your podcast, or it's quite strange that there's a lot of public knowledge about that. I'm not sure. I honestly was not sure if Scott was doing it for me or doing it for whoever is that lead person, it's all, I've just haven't worried about it, and I'm just like, I'll just do what my plan is, and I'm not stressed about who's going out really hard or going out really easy, just kind of worrying about what I'm doing. So I'm hoping we kind of find out before that that meeting on the Saturday before the race, and they actually have some communication about it.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And then, they did the media release for the chicks field as well, for the females field. So it'd be good to see official one for the men's. I don't think, have you seen anything?
No, I haven't. I haven't looked, but I haven't seen anything. But I don't know, it's like, there's some great stories in there, and it's kind of like, I don't know, whoever has a good day will win.
That's the most exciting thing. And I wish they started pumping it up more, because I feel like an inside run and we're the only ones talking about it. You're like, hang on, there's 5 good domestic Australian guys who have, you know, most of them represented Australia in some kind of form over the years as well, or were due to at the kind of world half. So like, start telling their stories and stuff and getting them on and stuff like that. But and did you see they cut all the prize money? Did you see that?
No, I didn't. What are they?
So 2021. Their total payout was $73,000, and then that was 2019. 2019 cancelled in 2020. $73,000 down to $38,000 in total.
Cool.
They took the win from $20,000 down to $10,000. Second from 8 down to 5. Third from 5 down to 2.5. Fourth from 2.5 down to 1,000, and fifth from 1,000 down to 500.
So I suppose that's a.
But then Melbourne kept theirs. I think Melbourne's still $20,000 or $25,000 for their first place in October. I'm not sure what Sydney have done yet, but these are kind of like the big three. Because the way I'm looking at it, though, and like obviously like COVID, they've missed a year, got no idea about their financial situation. But I thought the amount of money they would have saved not flying all the Kenyans and Ethiopians in, and like appearance fees and, you know, accommodation and all that kind of like elite money they used to spend on those top end guys that they haven't had to this year. I thought they still would have been out, because it's not ridiculous money. You think about it. I think my entry cost me like $145 to run the half. And they're popping up on Facebook about how they got 20,000 entries this year. Like every event's nearly sold out. And you're like, hey,
I wonder if through the not spending that money on those internationals, there's a lot more Australians that are getting supported. Like, so they're getting travel money.
I don't know. Anyone
who's
getting support. No.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. Like, yeah. I don't think. Because the half's just, you can only get support from the half if you're going to the Olympics. Remember that deal they have? Like, remember when Moose ran, like, Doha, they were kind of looked after him for the half because he was going to World Champs. And I assume the same thing's happening for, like, you know, Brett, Jack, Sinead, Ali, that kind of stuff. And maybe some of the, like, top-end MTC guys. But, like, nah. Like, anyone around, like, my level, no one's... Oh, Archie's getting some, like, development money. I think $150 to go towards his accommodation or something.
So you have to pay for your entry?
Yeah, entry, flights, com, all that kind of stuff. Mate, guys, Gold Coast aren't worried about guys like me.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
But that's interesting.
I think if I ran the marathon, I would have got, like, return flights, accommodation.
Yeah, you would have.
Yeah, because if you've broken 220 or something, three days accommodation.
3 days easy and return flights.
Which is a good program for the marathon. That's a good program. Mm. But, yeah, they don't really look at – no one's caring about 66-minute half marathon, guys, when it's going to be, when it's going to be 1 in 60, 61.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And I suppose that's the thing. It spreads so thin because there's – a 10K, a half, and a marathon. So it's not like a different running festival where there might be one or maybe two races.
Oh, and to be completely honest, like, I'm happy to pay entries and stuff, knowing that the winner used to get 20 grand. But if you're like, because imagine, like, let's just say top five, there could realistically be a really good Australian guy come in six who runs 2:13:30 and pick up $0 in prize money. Or the same thing. You could come, you know, it could be a sprint finish. Benny Saint, Tom DeCano, Riley Cox, you, Lewis McAfee comes in 8 seconds behind us all, gets 500. One guy gets 10 grand. You're like, oh. But anyway.
See what
happens. Yeah. But yeah, I was going to bring that to your attention. So tell us about what happened. So if you've already spent 20 grand somewhere, just maybe ease off. Don't go spending 20 grand in the next couple of weeks thinking you're going to win it. Just only spend 10. So this last week in training, Sunday today, so let's go back to, like, did you do a workout Tuesday?
Yeah, I did a workout Tuesday. So this was on the track. Did 3x2K and then a 1K. So I had 1 minute recovery between the 2K and the 1K, and then I had 2 minutes at the end. So I kind of broken up into sets. So it was a good workout. It was good on the track, had the lights on again, which was good. Probably a little bit, not tough, but the hard part about this session is only having a 1 minute rest after a 2K rep. Like, that's pretty uncommon. Like, normally you'd have at least 2 minutes, 2.5, maybe 3. I was pretty happy with this session because I was 5:53, 5:52, and 5:50 for the 2K reps, and then 2:50, 2:51, 2:49 for the 1K reps. So that was... I just felt in the groove, and I had a good little pack, a few of the junior bats, and often I get them to lead a few reps, but I was just kind of feeling in the zone, and didn't really want them jumping in and running a 62 or 63 second lap or a 72 or 73, so I kind of led the whole way. So that was 10K worth of work, just with a few of the extra jog laps in there.
Was that the plan, that kind of to stuff. Work down, like, change the gears when you went from the 2 to the 1K?
Yeah, so the plan was to run, I think it was 70-second laps for the 2Ks and then 68s for the 1K. So that was the rough plan. And I don't know, it's easy when you've got a rep that's half as far as the first rep, you can always run a bit faster, just mentally, I think. So it was just to work down a little bit, not too much. But that was good. It was a good session, actually. It was nice because I felt like I could have done that probably again, like another two or three sets of that. So it's nice feeling kind of walking away from those sessions because you don't want to walk away from every session being like, oh man, I feel banged up, but I nailed that kind of thing. It's nice to walk away going, I nailed that down to the T because I'm not spent kind of thing. And it was comfortably uncomfortable kind of thing. So that was good fun. And then actually didn't do a session for the rest of the week. Because I had a bit of a long run kind of session today, so, and just a bit of travel, so I'm in there. So that was the week. And then this morning, drove down to the Central Coast from New East. That's about 45, 50 minutes. And I did Bay to Bay, which is a half marathon down there. The plan was just to kind of have a bit of a hit out, but nothing too serious. So sat on Scotty for the first 10K, which was as per planned, and then I was just to work the next. So that was mostly kind of three tens, give or take, just to kind of feel that kind of marathon vibe, and just practice that kind of sitting in and just patience, I suppose. And then the next 5K was just a bit of a get a little bit faster, and then the next 5K, if I'm feeling good, run a little bit faster. So ended up running 66:28 with a bit of a toilet stop in there. So that was a little bit unplanned, but that's all right. So it was a good hit out, felt good, and then we actually jogged. So this is a point-to-point race, and then we actually jogged back to the car. So that was like a 10K cool down. So it's it's a bit of a big morning. So I think about 34, 35K by the time you add in a warm-up. So it was a good morning out, actually. Really enjoyed it.
Did they those guys catch you when you had the toilet stop and then you had to go past them again? Because I looked at the results, yep, and Guy was only, 20 or 30 seconds behind you at the end.
Yeah, so Guy and Scotty got past me, and then I kind of passed them again. So, Scotty was, he was just keen to have a bit of a hit out, and I think Guy was the same. Guy Walters, that is. So they're guys doing the half at Gold Coast. So I think it's this was just a bit of a money grab for him, and I think he was a bit disappointed when he found out I was coming up, because he often finishes second in this race, apparently. So they went past me, and then that's when I kind of dropped a few of those 2:55s, just because I was a little bit stressed that I wasn't going to catch back up to him, and Guy was probably licking his lips. Managed to catch back up to them and then kind of settle it down, and then finished feeling pretty good. And it was a solid effort, but it wasn't anything amazing. It's a pretty slow course. It's kind of all run on footpaths, so it's just like
houses and stuff.
Literally. So it's such a shame just with these, and you can't close down roads because it just costs so much these days. Like, so many local fun runs are just getting killed. Just like, it's just, you know what it's like. You would have done Launceston the other week, and it's just, you can't, like, nothing compares to running a road race on the road. You have the whole road to yourself, and you just, it's just awesome. Whereas footpaths, like, it doesn't sound like much, but it's the exact opposite, and it's just, bike paths,
I've been on a couple of like committees for planning fun runs and stuff, and it's like, oh, we want to save money, so we're going to go on this bike path and have people like on the, when you get across a road, and you're like, oh, just so, there's a reason why the big ones are so successful, and that's having open roads. And like, I'm talking from a performance point of view, like, most of the time they just want the participation numbers there or raising money for charity or whatever it is. But you feel in a whole different groove race-wise when you've got a whole road to work with.
Yeah, exactly. So, that was good fun, and enjoyed the run back. And then Scotty's done this a few times before Gold Coast. So he's done it with Celia a few times and all this kind of stuff. And we always get a coffee and a donut from this certain baker and then go stand in the water, which I hated because I'm not a big fan of ice baths and all that kind of stuff, and I can't stand it. Managed to last about 10 minutes in the water, then I got out. I was like, yep, that's enough, because it was bloody raining and freezing cold. So, but it was good fun to get down there. And
how long was the drive from Newcastle?
Yeah, it's probably like, I think it's like 45 minutes. I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, we left at 4:30 this morning, so I was like a little bit out of it, and it was dark, wet and raining and all that kind of stuff. So it's, it's all highway down the highway. But it's, but funny story. I was running along, sitting at the back. There's Scott, Guy, then me. And we were, if you look on the course map, we actually, so there's a 12K and then they added in a half marathon. So we start and we go the opposite direction, 4K up, turn around, 4K back, and then we come past the start line of the 12K and then run all the way in. I was coming back towards the start line, just running along, just kind of running, like, we're running 3:10s, feeling pretty comfortable, just like, oh, this is good. And then I hear this, go Bats, and I was like, what the hell? Where did that come from?
I think I know.
Like, yeah, you're used to it being like at an XCR race, but I was just like cruising along, like, and I hear this, go Bats, and I actually started laughing out loud, And Guy heard it as well, and because Guy's ran for the Bats as well. He did a half marathon a few years ago, and he kind of started laughing out loud, and here we are kind of running along just laughing. And so, yeah, big shout-out to Mel McLeod. He's a Chuka Moama resident.
True, correct.
That's right, yep. So he come up and he did the half, and he was actually running in a inside running podcast singlet. So
which one, the grey one or the green one? What colour? What season?
Nah, the Steigen, the white.
That's the most elite one. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. So
they're rare, those ones. Not many people got those ones.
Yeah, yeah. He was rocking it this morning. So thanks for that support, Mel. That gave me a very big laugh getting a Go Bats cheer out in the central coast of New South Wales.
We're hoping to have a few dropping for Gold Coast weekend, actually. We'll give you a singlet to wear just when you're winning. It'll be good for our publicity. Inside running Gold Coast edition. Does he go into the Gold Coast from there? Well, he didn't jar from a Chuka Moama just for today, did he?
I don't know. He actually sent me a message afterwards, and he asked me if I was staying up on the way to Gold Coast, and I said yeah, but I haven't heard back from him. So I don't know. It's a bit of a strange one. I was quite surprised that he was running, because it's not like I wouldn't call it a fast fun run. Like it's a good community fun run, and you'd do it if you lived in that area, but you wouldn't travel to do it personally. Mm. I wouldn't, but yeah, not sure. But that was the highlight of the day for me, just hearing that little Go Bats. So that was very funny. So yeah, this week I think I'm not sure what I got, about 152K, so a bit less, kind of only a long run session and one session, but a bit of travel in there, and feeling pretty good actually. So.
And did that first 10K feel like marathon pace when you're sitting behind Scott at like 3:10?
It did. It felt pretty good, but I was like, I don't know, it didn't feel fast, but you're kind of like, shit, I'd have to do this four times. Like that kind of goes through your mind, but then you're like, hang on, I'm running on this crappy footpath. I'm running in my old Next Percents. I'm not on the Gold Coast. I haven't tapered. Like, so there's a long list of things that will change. So, it felt pretty good. It felt like I could kind of easily, kind of drop the hammer a bit after that. And when I finished, I wasn't. I don't know, you know what it's like when you finish a fun run and then people are like, oh, you don't even look like you're breathing kind of thing. I was getting a lot of that, and I honestly felt pretty good, and the 10K or nearly 11K jog back felt pretty comfortable, so I'm pretty confident with where I'm at the moment, and I think that's probably the goal for Gold Coast, I think, running around that kind of 3:10. So it was good to sit on Scotty and just get used to running behind him, and nice little practice run.
The toilet stop though, you can do that with Guy Walters and Scotty, but if you do that with Benny Saint and Tom DeCano and Riley Cox, you might not catch them. So you want to get that sorted.
Yeah, I was just a little bit, I don't know, for me, I've always thought it was dairy, but I think actually caffeine has an impact as well. And because this is a trouble I've had in the past, but it was actually I was just a little bit lazy probably in the last few days, and I had a few coffees, like some long blacks and that kind of stuff, and now I just need to know, like, it's like it was actually a nice little like reminder of like, no, you need to be serious about this kind of stuff, you can't take that easy out kind of thing. So I'm not like, it's yeah, it was a bit annoying definitely, but it's not the end of the world, and it's a nice little kind of, I suppose, wake up for me, just to be like, nah, you need to be onto it for the next 2 weeks kind of thing. So we'll cut out a few things, make sure I'm not eating a few things ahead of Gold Coast, and go from there.
Beautiful. Well, mate, so this week will you do one last good big session, or you think that's it?
I think it's probably nearly going to be it. I don't think there'll be any big sessions. I think there might just be a little bit of quality. But yeah, I'm not really too sure. It's going to be nice being in Newcastle, so I don't have to kind of get on the phone and be like, oh, Scotty, what are your thoughts?
You stay in his house, just wake up, knock on his door. Yeah.
Yeah, stay in his house. So it's going to be good. He'll be pacing around.
Hasn't he got like five kids or something?
Three. So yeah, they're all going crazy outside at the moment. It's going to be, good fun. I'm just kind of chilling, which is good, and don't have to worry about work. And, enjoy the full-time athlete life, I suppose, and acclimatising to the weather. So Matt Davey will be very happy. that I'm kind of a little bit further north and getting used to the warmer weather, although up here it's bloody raining and cold. So
Getting used to the heat, getting some heat gains.
Yep, that's it.
Right, mate. Well, let's cap it there, and let's do we'll do a weekly here until the race, which is only 2 weeks, so only two more episodes. But yeah, we'll know a bit about this Division 2 Bendigo Bats team, hopefully in the next couple of days. Yeah, what happens? What's worst case scenario if the race goes ahead this week, but then anyone going to the Gold Coast can't go, like doesn't want to risk being in Melbourne?
Yeah, I think we're still looking pretty good for a team because there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people going to Gold Coast, but there is a lot of people like that running our Div 5 team that
like going they Gold really Coast. They
yeah, and they're not Div 5 runners. They're Div 2 runners, Div 3 runners. So, I'm pretty.
Who would the confident 6 be?
Well, I'll put me on the spot, but I reckon Steve, Nigel. I've heard whispers that Nath Mead is a maybe. So he was actually training for an Ironman up in Cairns, but couldn't get there because Victoria was in lockdown. So he's bloody fit at the moment, and he's keen to roll around.
Nathan Stote.
Yep. So what's that? That's four. And then probably Brian McGinley, who's a roughie. So he's a guy who used to live in Elmore. I did a fair bit of training with him, and he's a good runner. He's
low 15-minute guy, isn't he? Like 15.
Low 15. Yeah.
Is he fit? I haven't heard his name for a while.
Yeah, he's had a strange one. He's got this inflammation, swelling on his knee, and he's been to numerous sports docs, and they can't tell him what's wrong. Like no one knows why it's swelling up, and it literally swells up like a balloon. Hasn't done that for the last probably 2 months, and he's been gradually increasing his load. So I think he's nearly ready to go. So that's a good little addition. So that'll be five. And then I suppose the sixth runner could be someone like Skepsi, or it could be Mike Bellini or someone like that, or Matt Hook could be in there as well. Like there's a lot of runners there that are kind of 16-minute 5K guys. So
yeah, that's a good team. I'm still sticking to my comment, though, that I don't think they can put an event on and then expect regional people to get there if it's going to impact them travelling to every other state in Australia. Like, I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, and I just really hope they don't decide to somehow make it in waves and try to, say, limit the amount of people there at the start line, because that would just completely ruin the race. So it's like, if you can't run it to the standard that you normally run it to, just don't run it.
Yeah. If they do something like that, they should almost do like a team time trial. Like if they can only let 20 people off at a time, say, all right, here's APS and St. Stephen's. You got 20 spots, 10 each, put your best 10 in, you're taking your average time or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, or the top, average time of your top six. And then you just go Bendigo and Geelong, you're up next or whatever. Or, you know, it wouldn't matter who you're going off with, but you just send them off that way and maybe work on ship times or something like that.
Yeah, but I actually see that the Bendigo Addy and all this, we're getting a lot of press about the Bats, and AV have actually been resharing a bit of the stuff. So it looks like they might be coming across. So look out, that Div 1 promotion
the
might
conspiracy's
be...
conspiracy's over, you reckon? No, I think it's over.
I think it's over, and I'm just waiting for the call from Glenn Turner to say, yep, the Bats are in Div 1.
And that's another thing, you know, you've postponed round three, move that to later in the year. Round four might not be going ahead. Like, this is the perfect time to make a change. We've put enough out there. Put enough out there already to say we need to be there. Got a fan base. People wondering. Give us a chance. Let the Bats fly. What about they've been real quiet on, like, remember Sean Whip and Tim Crosby used to do, like, a podcast and stuff, talking about, like, AV stuff. And they did one at the start of the season. Yeah. And then, like, they used to do those little they did a little video promo on, like, Gels Park, and then just nothing.
Yeah, like, I don't know what – I don't know. They must be busy or something. I don't know. Not sure where that's been, but –
It's not hard to do a podcast episode.
Yeah.
Just ask me.
case in point.
Yeah.
I reckon I've found a good tattoo parlour up in Gold Coast, so I reckon we can all book in, get it all done at the same time. So, I'll send you through where that –
Imagine getting tattoos after two rounds. Yeah, because I've spoken to you about that, because Archie was the one that floated the idea. He's like, we were jogging the other day, he's like, yeah, I reckon I'm going to get a tattoo if we win Divi 2. And I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't got any ink, but I'm like, if there's something, I would get tattooed on me. And I was thinking about getting it, like, instead of the Olympic rings on my back shoulder, get like five little bats, like, you know, like up, down, up, down, up, down. So they're like in Olympic rings, kind of like
I like that.
That's a good idea, isn't it? Like, you just get five little bats on the back shoulder. So every time you go past someone in a race, they just see them up there on the what muscle's that up there? Shoulder bone kind of thing? Deltoid?
Deltoid. Yeah. Right, I reckon, man. You know who would get around that? The twins. They would definitely, they would be, first in line. I've got a new little bat logo to show you. The boys over at Ernie Old, they're going to knock up a bit of a custom singlet for me for Gold Coast. And there's a little bat on the design down the bottom, and it looks sick. So I reckon that's the design we get for the tat. It looks really cool.
People were asking me about that last week. I think Ali Pashley's husband, Jose, was like, have you guys got a logo? And I'm like, no, we got the emoji. The emoji is the logo. And then Archie was with us too. He's like, nah, we kind of need a logo. And he put a logo. Did you see that post he put on Instagram? He put a bat on the singlet. There was a picture of just him. It was one of our promo pictures of him standing in front of a white wall in his Bendigo singlet.
Is that the one that looks like it's photoshopped because he looks real tanned?
It's real tan and stuff, buff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was looking at his legs the other day, though. I think he might use fake tan or something. I'm looking at my legs, and I'm like, my legs are just pale as white. And I'm like, how, man, you're doing the same workouts at the same time of the day and your legs are so much tanned than mine? But he put on that singlet. He put a bat. Like, he sketched over the photo and put a bat on the, like, front breast of it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I reckon that's the bat we've got. You know, on the singlets, we've got one on the back that's in grey. Oh, yeah,
same one.
I reckon that's it. Yeah, so that might, I don't know. I'll send you through this other little bat that the boys at Ernie Old have made up for us.
Yeah, get those guys to give us, say, design for some merch.
Yeah, nah, there's something that's in the pipe works. Good. Yeah. So some training tees. So anyone that's keen to get a bit of bat merchandise, never thought I'd say that. we'll keep you updated. So they're a Bendigo based running brand, so that'd be pretty sick to actually have them.
Are they based in Bendigo now? I thought they were hipster, like Brunswick kind of thing or something.
Yeah, they're full Brunswick hipsters. But the Ernie Old is a street in Bendigo. Both Simon and Source grew up in Bendigo, so I say they're Bendigo boys, but
I call them Bendigo boys.
Yeah, but they can't handle the hills in Bendigo, so they're kind of city boys on a long run. And then I still call them Bendigo boys. I took them around your favourite Resolute one time, and I think Simon had a few beers the night before, and he was battling on the way back.
I think was that the same day I was there.
Nah,
he was with us that day as well. I reckon.
Was he? Yeah, right. One of them was. Nah, this was like a Sunday, and we went all the way out to Mount Herbert and went up there. In their defense, it wasn't an easy Sunday run. So, look out for that merch. It's coming in hot.
Let's wrap it up and talk again next week, mate.
Lovely. Awesome. Right. Thank you.
Catch ya.
See ya. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.